The emperors, the Caesars, were worshipped by the empire, one man, as God. And it was, the way this happened was, the political climate, the economic climate, and the religious climate was such that they wanted a human to be worshipped. The ultimate of humanism. Man has achieved Godhead. And they worshipped him. This is what is being revived even before our eyes today. And yes, I do believe, as many others, that the European common market is that foundation block for these 10 nations. Yes, I believe that. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't necessarily have to be the exact geographical outline of the old Roman Empire. What will be precisely the same is the aspects of government that brought about Rome. Okay? Now, here it says in verse 18, the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, beloveds, I've given you this outline rather rapidly because God wants me to teach you these next few sessions concerning Mystery Babylon, the whore. I want you to understand that there are only two religions in the world according to the Bible. One is true Christianity. Abel was a part of that. Adam was a part of that. Cain was not. Cain was the first member of the other religion. In other words, you either worship God in spirit and in truth, or you're a whore. A spiritual whore. All denominations, religions, cults, occults, witchcraft, all that are not truly worshiping Jesus Christ, accepting Him as their Savior, are denominations, if you please, different denominations within the one religion, Mystery Babylon the Whore. So I want you to understand tonight, you that are in here, you're either born again through the blood of Jesus Christ and part of the true church, or you're part of the whore. There's only two. So that the Buddhist, the Hindus, the Muslims, etc., etc., these are all part of the whore. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that there are certain basic beliefs and doctrinal beliefs that nearly all religions, denominations, parts of the whore, this, I don't care what they call themselves, there are a few basic things that they all believe. Now, they may believe it, they may paint it slightly differently, but when it's all stripped down, they have some basic doctrinal beliefs that hold them together. Now, we do too, as Christians. Let me just say this. To be a Christian, for you and me to have fellowship with one another, there's only a few things we really have to agree on. God did not say you must agree on every doctrine in the Bible. What He did say is, whether you agree or not, I command you to love one another. If you agree on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me briefly tell you what that means. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, come in the flesh. Amen. That God, at that time, became a son. He wasn't a son before that. He was God. That when God had a son, He became a father. In another sense, God was already a father. He called Himself, in the Old Testament, the father of Abraham, the father of David, and these people. But He uniquely became a father when Jesus came because Jesus is the only begotten Son. Amen. Luke chapter 1 says that Mary would conceive within her womb. There would be a conception. In other words, Jesus didn't show up ready-made from outer space, a little miniature person. It was a genuine conception. It was a human egg, Mary's. The sperm that fertilized it, shall we say, was delivered without intercourse, of course. How pagan, you know, that humans and supernatural beings have intercourse. Those of you that think Genesis chapter 6 is talking about fallen angels and humans having intercourse, that's mythology. That's mythology. Amen. You can read about gods and people having sexual relations in Roman mythology, Greek mythology, but the Bible doesn't teach that.
Amen.
See, if it could happen back then, why can't it happen now? It could. And let me tell you girls something. If you come to me next week and say, "Brother Floyd, you won't believe this. I was walking out in the woods all by myself, and son of a gun, this fallen angel showed up. I didn't want to, but he ripped my clothes off and just violated me, and now I'm pregnant." Would you believe that, Brother Floyd? No. No, I tell you, you were a liar and needed to repent. See, I understand the difference between mythology and the Bible. Now, the sons of God were Adam's lineage, and the daughters of men were Cain's lost lineage, and God had forbade intermarrying of saved and lost. And the results were, you said, but they had giants. You bet. They were as grotesque as the marriage because they came from Cain. All these girls had Cain's genes. Now, I'm going to teach on the mark of Cain tonight, but if you want to know what it was, I do know what it is. It's all through the Bible. I'm surprised most people don't know what it is, but it's everywhere in the Bible. Everyone in the land of Canaan was a giant. When they went in, when they sent the spies in, the spies came back and said, "We look like grasshoppers to all those guys." I'm not just talking about Goliath now, y'all. It said all the Amorites were as tall as cedar trees. All the Jebusites. God was going to put a mark on Cain to protect him, to keep his family from killing him. Now, that wasn't making him black. Think about that. You black brothers in here. Has being black ever protected you guys? Never. Never. Us white eyes have been after you guys for years, hadn't we? It hadn't helped you out at all. No, it made him as grotesque as his sin. Cain is the first giant in the Bible, and every giant in the Bible is Cain's lineage. Therefore, when you get to the book Genesis chapter 10 and you read after the flood that the giants were still going, it was Ham that they came through. Therefore, Ham's wife, Ham had married one of the girls that had the giant gene in her, and all of them came through Ham and his wife. Now, I didn't come to teach that. I've got two tapes. They're free. They're called The Mark of Cain. You can get them. They're free. And I mean, I give you at least 25 or 30 scriptures that you can check out for yourself and prove it to yourself. If you really want to know, I mean, you may sit there right now and smugly say, "I don't believe that." Yeah, well, you don't have the right to an opinion if you hadn't studied it yet. Now, how about that? Is that tough? I mean, you know, I'm tired of people coming up and telling me, "I think so-and-so," and they hadn't read five verses in the Bible. If you hadn't read the Bible from front to cover, you're not qualified to have an opinion. You'll be wise to keep quiet. See, I learned that in science. A scientist that hadn't done his homework doesn't have the right to an opinion. None of us do. I know that you Americans hate that. All of us do. See, you know, a sin nature, rebellious sin nature is, "How dare he tell me I don't have a right? I'm an American and a Texan." Oh, who cares? In other words, hey, after you've listened to the tape and checked out every scripture, if you still disagree, now at least you've done your homework, and that I can respect. You really think, okay, you did your homework. You checked it out. But please don't come up after the meeting tonight and try and correct me or straighten me out on that. You just hadn't done your homework yet. But don't come up and try and tell me that fallen angels and women are having intercourse. Hogwash. The Bible teaches, in fact, Jesus Christ himself taught in Matthew chapter 22, that angels are sexless beings, and Satan cannot create a male organ out of nothing. Only God can create out of nothing. And even if Satan could create a male organ, it ain't enough to have an organ. You got to have all the stuff that goes with it.
Amen.
It takes a lot of chemistry to generate a sperm. It's a very complicated system. I'm sorry, if you want to glorify Satan and give him all that credit, well, you go ahead and believe that fairy story. See, now that's a fairy story. Fallen angels somehow generate bodies. Have you ever noticed that have you ever seen a fallen angel with a body? I never have. Isn't it funny that they always want to possess a body? It's because they don't have one. They're called demons, y'all. And they're always trying to possess people so that they can have a body again. Now, I don't tell you that to make you feel bad towards your preacher or your denomination that may believe that. Listen, I'm just trying to set you free. I'm challenging you, if nothing else. Go back and read the thing. Listen, If they're right and I'm wrong, what does that teach? What does it teach? Girls don't walk alone in the woods. That's a hate. I never noticed Paul teaching that. Did you? I mean, did you ever see Jesus in the Gospels? All right, now girls, listen. Special advice. Remember what you learned in Genesis 6. Don't walk alone in the woods. Now, I'll tell you what the Bible does teach. But if I'm right and they're wrong, let me tell you, it's an eternal principle. Do not unequally yoke yourself in marriage. You'll have nothing but a bunch of hideous problems.
Amen.
There'll be giants. Believe me, don't unequally yoke in marriage. It's taught Old and New Testament, and it started right there in Genesis 6. I'm trying to get you to see that the devil is so clever in making us, getting us sidetracked on what that chapter teaches, that we've been sitting there thinking, oh goodness, and didn't see that God right off the bat was just screaming, don't do it.
Amen.
The cult has shown itself all over the world, all through time. Many ancient religions call themselves mystery religions. For example, if you're in here and you're a Mason, if you read the books of the lodge, I'm not talking about those little silly ones they give you guys to pass your initiation courses with. I'm talking about getting on into the books that Mackey and Buck and Albert Pike wrote. If you read their books, I have. See, if you hadn't, then if you're a Mason in here, you don't have the right to come correct me. I don't have to go to a Mason's meeting to read Albert Pike and Mackey's books and Buck's books. In this, they tell you, if you want to know what Masonry is really all about, then read the mystery religion writings of the Eleusinian Mysteries, the Druids, and he goes on and names a bunch, the Egyptian mystery religion, and so on. Oh, I couldn't refuse. I did read those and find out what they believed and taught. And they said, now, that's what we really believe. But you see, the Masons are very clever. They're just like every other cult, religious cult. You don't ever let the initiates at the bottom of the ladder know what's happening. It's kind of like the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Don't ever let the little Catholic person understand what's really going on. If you did, not one of you would stay there. You couldn't. But you don't know what's going on. So you just stay there and they're happy. Albert Pike, the Prince Adept of Masonry in America, said in his own book, the only God of Masonry and the only God that I worship and have ever worshipped is Lucifer. Now, to find that out, you've got to become a 33rd. There are four different types of 33rd degree Masons. Only one of them ever get to know it. Only this one group. And they watch everybody as they develop and go up through the ladder. And they talk to them. They get with them and they feel them out and see what their doctrinal beliefs are on certain key issues and see if they are worthy to be brought into this one special group of the 33rd. And when they're brought in, then they're told everything. Now, see, if they tell the rest of you Masons all that, you'll quit. You'll leave. And they can't take that. If they're going to have power, they've got to have a lot of people, because a lot of people is power. Listen, you're the senator. We're going to have a big vote. I represent 20 million people. And here's what we believe and want you to support. But what if I say, I represent two people, and here's what we want. I ain't got any power. Now, there's one possibility that I could, and that's money. And so if you've got a lot of people in your organization, you're going to have money. Clout comes with numbers and money. All pyramidal religious organizations, that means someone's at the top whose word you are not allowed to question. That's a pyramid. And then lesser mortals below them, lessers, and then you bums, you absolute lackeys, you fools, you clods are at the bottom. You say, Brother Floyd, I thought the Masons, that was a fine, religious, upstanding, moral group of people. Oh yeah? Would you like for me to tell you the truth? In the Mason doctrine, see, until you become a master Mason, that's the third level, see, you agree then, you take an oath then, that you will not sleep with a master Mason or above's wife, daughter, or mother. Do you understand that's a far cry from the Ten Commandments? In other words, if you're only a first level Mason and a second level Mason, your wife is open game to all other Masons and your daughters.
God.
Moral? dear Father. It is one of the most obscene. Let me tell you Masons in here something. When you took the third level initiation rite and you lay down in the floor and they went through all that stuff and they kept trying to pick you up, let me tell you what you did. You ought to be so angry. You went through step by step, word by word, the initiation that everyone ever went through that took the rites of Baal. I'd be pretty mad if someone tricked me and lied to me and deceived me into going through one of the most heinous pagan religious rituals of all time, and I didn't even know it. Sucked me into that. Now, I want to tell you, the guy that led you into doing it probably didn't know either. But the 33rd degree boys in that special little group, they know. And they say so in their books. But you guys don't read their books. They tell you you can read it, but they know you won't read it. Besides, those answers are usually on page 548, and you've gotten so tired of reading that junk by the time you get there. I might add that when you're initiated into witchcraft, you take the exact same initiation rite. Every single thing you did as a man to become a master mason, the third level, is the exact initiation rite for witchcraft. Why not? It's all Mystery Babylon the whore. Do you understand that I hate the organization of masonry but love Mason people? Do you understand the difference? I'm not against you as a person. I'm trying to tell you the truth so that you can be set free from an organization that's leadership confesses to worship Lucifer. And you're financing and physically helping the well-being of this organization in your total ignorance. Now, I have a question. Do you hate me because I've told you the truth?
No.
Some of you will. If not you in this audience, some that hear this tape, just like some of the Catholics that heard what I said, will hate me. But I want you to understand, I don't hate you. Somebody's got to love you enough to tell you what's happening.
Amen.
To give you a chance to be set free from these organizations. Because they're part of the whore. Now, you know, I'm always amazed. People say, we don't know anything about the Druids. You see, you turn on the television, there's Leonard Nimoy or someone like this, you know, your happy host. And they take you over to Stonehenge, and they say, now here's where the Druids worshipped, and maybe this was astrological stuff. We're not sure exactly how they worshipped. We don't know exactly what they believed. History seems to be... I know everything. They worshipped everything they did. All you got to do is read what the cult has always believed. And you know exactly what they believed. The Rosicrucians are part of it. Many, many other cults. Now, I'm not here to name them all. I'd spend the rest of the month just doing that. But I'm trying to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Now, Mystery Babylon, the whore, is identified for us in the Bible. We cannot miss it. I want to spend some time with you now talking to you both from Scripture and telling you their basic beliefs. First of all, now listen carefully. One way or the other, no matter what the denomination is within the whore, these basic teachings somehow come about. Any one of them may not have all, but they almost will. They will if you can cut all the fat off. Number one, they teach salvation is by an initiation rite. First, because you can't understand the mystery. You remember in Colossians, Paul was talking about all the mysteries. He was talking about some of these cults that we call Gnostics. And he says, but if you want to know a real mystery, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled within Christ bodily. He said, now that, if you want to talk about a mystery, that ought to hold you for a few years. Just cogitate on that one. That a man, God, did become a man. Now listen to me. Everything in the whore teachings is the exact opposite, 180 degrees of the truth. The Bible teaches that God became a man. The whore teaches that men are evolving into gods. The exact opposite. In the teachings of the whore, hear me, they teach, number one, man will not die. You don't surely die. Listen, it goes back to Genesis 3, which we'll read later, the original lie that Satan gave to him in the garden. And let me say this. Many of the organizations in the cult, I'm referring to Mystery Babylon now, all the denominations as the cult. Many of them that admit that they worship Lucifer, many of them don't, you understand, but many that do, they don't believe, most of them, that they worship Satan. In other words, in cultic teaching, most of their denominations, Satan and Lucifer aren't the same person to them. Most of them do not even believe in a devil. And if there is one, it might just be Jesus. Okay? They don't believe there's a evil. It's bad thinking. They don't believe in sin as we understand sin. I'll explain to you later in a few moments what they think sin is. So I want you to see that even if they say, see, if they say Albert Pike, he admits he worships Lucifer. He doesn't believe Lucifer is the devil. He, in other words, he accepts that part of the Bible that talks about Lucifer the light bearer. Because that's the thing that they all claim to have in common. They have a religious experience that they base their, quote, initiation rite on of seeing a bright light. And in a moment of enlightenment. And quite often with it, they see a light. This is the basic for all this junk you've been reading about people, quote, dying and seeing a tunnel and a bright light at the end of it. They're not really dead, do you understand? It's a deception. They're close to death. They're not truly dead. And they see this light and they come back and it's their religious experience. How do I know that? The Bible says absence of the body is presence with the Lord. The Bible says that as soon as you die, angels immediately take you to the presence of God, not to a waiting room or a tunnel. This is part. See, Lucifer's name means the light bearer. And they're seeing their light. Not the light of the world. Now, I'm saying things to some of you that are going to be blowing your minds, and I'm doing it because... Now, I want to tell you this. If I were the best teacher that God could have me to be, and you were the best students, I would not teach you the lesson that I'm going to be teaching these next few weeks. If you're going to really teach, the best way to teach is to show someone only the truth so that if they really understand truth, truth, pure truth, and nothing but the truth, the moment they see a counterfeit, they'll immediately recoil. Yeah. In shock. That's the way you learn about counterfeit money. You don't study counterfeit money. You study real $20 bills. So much that the moment you see your first counterfeit, you can spot it a mile off. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't mean this to be hurtful. I'm just trying to tell you what my problem is. Problem is, I'm not the best teacher in the world, and you're not the best students in the world. In fact, the truth is, many of us are miserable students. Let me tell you what I mean. Most of you in here have never even read the Bible one time. Most of you have spent most of your, quote, religious growth time reading paperback books. So, see, if you guys really knew the Bible, had studied it for years, you know, I come along and I grab a bunch of good Old Testament Jews, you know what I mean? You've been studying the Old Testament. Man, I wouldn't tell you all about all this junk. You've been studying pure truth for so many years, I just keep on showing you pure truth. The horror is that the teachings of the cult over the centuries have invaded the bride of Christ.
That's right.
So that you guys in your denominations have teaching after teaching that are not Christian, that are cultic teaching, and you don't know it, neither does your preacher, and neither does the head of the denomination. And moreover, if I could convince the head of your denomination of it, he still wouldn't have the denomination change it. They're that set in their ways. And if you don't believe it, you're very naive. You go to the head of your denomination and try and show him even one thing, and the first thing he'll do is make you feel like a total fool by saying, how much Greek and Hebrew do you have? If you only understood the Hebrew verbs, I mean, they'll make you feel like you're trash and stupid, and because he is not about to repent of his belief. The head of the denomination admit that he's... I mean, you know, like the Fonz. Like the Fonz, right? You know, that he made a... Oh, no. Now, listen to me. So this is most important then. I'm going to try and spend a bit of time really driving into you what the counterfeit. Now, I'm not going to tell you all their doctrines. You know, we're not going to go into details about how they do it and what position they get. No, no. Just enough to protect you while you're learning, while you make a commitment to God that from this night forward, you're going to study the real thing. Now, that's called the Word of God. I didn't say your Southern Baptist Quarterly now. I didn't say the Assembly of God Quarterly. I said, the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
The infallible, absolute Word of God.
Yes.
Now, right now, if you give this message on tape to one of your seminary friends or anything, see, right then, most of them are going to write me off thinking I'm not intelligent enough. Because they've been to seminary and their seminary professors told them the Bible wasn't infallible. It had all kinds of scribal errors. Well, now, my Bible is infallible.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry someone tampered with theirs. And with and that they dared in their arrogance as 22-year-olds at some Bible school let some man tell them that the Word of God had errors in it. They should have reproved that wicked man. I don't care how many degrees he's got. I don't care if he's a Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. I don't care what he is. If he says that the Bible is wrong, he said his own intellect over the Bible, and he will be called to account before Almighty God.
Amen.
And God's going to say, who told you that lie, boy? Well, he couldn't be wrong. He had a white robe on and white collar. I'm going to tell you something. Years ago, God led me by His grace to commit to believe every word in the Bible. I didn't say understand it. Did you hear that? I didn't say understand every word in the Bible. I said I committed my heart to believe it. And having believed it, I trusted that someday God would explain it to me.
Amen.
And even if He doesn't, I believe it. If you've been 6.5 years at the University Magna Cum Laude, maybe you have the right to think in your arrogance that you are, that I am ignorant. But I'm going to tell you the greatest act of ignorance I ever did. It was the greatest act of wisdom I ever did. When I called my intellect and my education dung and submitted my will to the Word of God.
Amen.
My wisdom is only based on the fact that I believe the Word of God. It's the only wisdom I really have. It's really easy to be wise. You quote God. See, I didn't say you were smart. Look, see Chuck here? This Chuck. Chuck's IQ isn't where mine is. It isn't even close. Listen to me. His education won't touch mine. You hear this? But his wisdom does.
Amen.
That young man right there believes every word in the Bible. And let me tell you, you should have seen when this little ex-Roman Catholic came the first night high on drugs to my Bible study, and I said something about Catholicism, he nearly fell off his chair. But God brought him back the next time. Let me tell you, within a week this boy was born again. That's his brother right there. Guess what? God got him working on him. And now both of them are working on their lost brother who's studying for the priesthood down in South America.
Amen.
And they've already put enough doubt in his mind that he's being taught the right thing that the church decided they'd better not ordain him this last year.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to have a very high IQ to be wise. Wisdom is, I believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, let me tell you. I know a lot of guys with high IQs that are very high, but they're fools. Because they're part of the cult. Let me talk to you about the cult. The doctrines of the cult. Listen to me. Number one, again, they teach salvation begins with an initiation rite. There is no salvation apart from that initiation rite. And they then go on to teach that it must be followed by good works, or else karma grabs hold of you. Now, I want to explain these things to you. Now, listen to me. The basic idea in all the cult is this. It is a denial of what Satan... It is exactly agreeing with what God, Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden. The two great lies that Satan foisted on men, he began in the garden. You shall not surely die. Die, oh yeah, yeah, but not surely. The moment your body hits the ground, you that live inside that will go to another body. Because we're all part of God. They teach, now listen to me, in their religions, most of them are set up about like this. They believe in one God who is totally impersonal, not a father, impersonal. It is pure energy. Today, it's called the Force. It's always been called the Force by those that were in the know. But they had other names for the Force. Fancy, funny-looking names that you wouldn't know. They call him, in some of the religions, the Solar Logos, or Logos is the true Greek pronunciation. The Star Wars movie has... See, that man clearly explained to all of us exactly why he believes he's part of the cult. Now, in the cult, this is the ultimate God. And he's impersonal. He's just pure energy. And by random chance, he happened that life came into being. That matter just began to come together. That his pure energy was converted into matter by random chance. And that the Force has both a good and bad side. And you can tap into either side. Now, in these doctrines, you shall not surely die. You will come back to life either through reincarnation or transmigration. So the Force, see, the Force, the energy is in everything that it, on the, in the universe. So that God permeates everything and is everything. The rocks are God, the trees are God, the frogs are God, the ticks are God, you're God, I'm God. Hallelujah. Now, they teach that this Force initially placed within man, by random chance, everything that was needed to achieve godhood, that men will become gods. That's the second lie he said. If you eat the fruit that God told you not to fruit, you will become wise. That's it. Did you hear that? The mystery religion wants you to get mystery wisdom. You will become wise knowing good and evil, and become as gods. So the great lie is, you shall not surely die. Doctrine, reincarnation, transmigration. Now, reincarnation means you come back as a person. Somebody else, some other person. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they hate that doctrine because it puts their teaching down. He didn't come back as somebody else. He came back as the same Jesus. The angel said in Acts chapter 1, ye men of Galilee, around verse 10, why stand ye here looking up? This same Jesus will return in like manner. Now, he didn't go up as a spook. Now, in the cult, they argue, certain denominations within the cult have certain disagreements about Jesus. Some say he was only a spook to begin with. You know, he never was a real person. He was a phantom. He didn't leave footprints in the sand when he walked. In other words, they emphasize that he achieved godhood. Now listen, in the cult teaching, Jesus did not come as God. He has not always been God. Jesus evolved into God. He came to earth as a man, got his thinking right, tuned into the Force, got on the wavelength of the Force, and evolved by great wisdom into becoming a God. You see, the opposite of the Bible. The Bible teaches he's always been God. The horror is many of your denominations still don't know who he is. You think, you know, you're just totally confused. You don't understand what it means he's the Son of God. You think that means he's a lesser God. Or maybe maybe there's three gods. There's one God.
Amen.
He is a spirit. He has manifested himself in three different persons. The Spirit has manifested him. He could manifest himself as a million if he chose. I mean, who's going to limit God? Your God may be a peanut and be limited. Mine isn't. You know. Mine can do anything he jolly well pleases. It's like the old joke, where does the 800-pound gorilla sleep? Anywhere he wants to. He does anything he wants to. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. In the cultic teaching then, you die, but not surely. You come back. Now, transmigration of soul means you come back as something else. Now, for instance, if you were a raper and a sexually perverted person, you'll come back as a dog. See, dogs are scavengers. And especially in most parts of the world, see, where these kind of philosophies were developed anyway, you know, over in India and places like that, dogs are, you know, they just barely can make a living at all. There's hardly enough food for people. Or if you were, a real glutton, you come back as a pig or something like that. But, I mean, you're liable to come back. You know, I mean, they got something figured out for you to come back as. Now, this is based on what they teach. This is based on what they teach as karma. Now, listen to me. I want to try and explain karma. Karma's not easy to explain. Many of these philosophical thoughts that they have are not easy to explain to us Westerners. We don't think like they do. And I'm trying to make everything in a Western civilization understanding. Where, if you ever read their books and don't understand it, good. It isn't supposed to be understood. It's stupid error. And they speak in circles deliberately, trying to appear wise to their students. But the Bible reveals in Nehemiah chapter 8 that the real teacher teaches things so simple everyone can understand it. If you go to church and your preacher's using a vocabulary that none of you can keep up with, you're all wasting your time, him included. You read Jesus' teachings. I understood half of them when I was 10 and unsaved. I didn't give it my heart, but I understood it. I understood those parables. I mean, I didn't understand all the doctrinal implications, but I got the kernel. Hear what I'm saying? That guy could teach. See, it wasn't because I was smart. It's because that guy could teach. So transmigration of soul, you can come back as anything. And the idea is that you don't surely die. You keep coming back and evolving and evolving, life after life, until finally, through the moment of enlightenment, and I'll tell you what that is in a moment, you become a god. All their doctrines are that men become gods by evolution. So that I want you to understand that all the teachings on evolution have nothing whatever to do with science. The teachings on evolution go back thousands of years to Babylon at its inception. And what finally happened over a period of years is many scientists who already had that doctrinal belief brought it into science and began to try and think of ways to make it scientifically acceptable to a bunch of people who thought they were smart anyway. And I was one of them and believed every word in it until I repented. Now, I said that for a good purpose. I shocked some of y'all, made some of you angry. Some of you thought I was bragging when I talked about IQs. Now you hear this. If I was so smart, how is it I was lost for 36 years? If I was so smart and understood what Jesus meant in those parables, and I did, how come I didn't give him my heart for 36 years? Why is it if I was really so smart, I didn't believe Genesis chapter 1? I believed evolution. I'm just trying to show you that I was nothing but an educated fool. That was another good amen. Now, Shirley, I don't mind her saying that, but I wish you would not applaud on that. I want you to see, do you see how God works? God doesn't let a man that really loves him and that really wants to please him get by with any way where anyone that's honest can come over prideful. God will always bring that lesson down to where it craters around his own head and he has to admit he's been a fool. And the only intelligent thing I've ever done is when I submitted my heart to Jesus Christ and believed the Bible. Now, beloveds, you will not surely die. Through wisdom, you will become gods. That is the basic doctrine of the cult. Now, the way they achieve this, it then is through the doctrines of reincarnation, transmigration, through the teachings of evolution, that all the universe, everything is evolving, and that they teach that sin, one of the greatest sins is separation. Since we're all from the force, and we're all finally going to be gods, The greatest sin you guys are making, including me, of course, in their doctrine is you deny the deity that you are. This is blasphemy. You're a deity and you deny it. Therefore, you deserve to come back as something horrible the next time until you get your thinking straightened out with some wisdom, some mystery knowledge. Separation is sin to them. They hate the Jews. All the cults are anti-Semitic because the Jews have stayed separate. I mean, sure, most of them are lost in their sins. But they know God called them to be separate. Isn't it funny? They'll choose part of the Bible they like. Of course, us Baptists don't ever do that. Neither do you Pentecostals and you Methodists. But you know, they hate the Jews because of separation. They say, all men are brothers. Wrong. You become a brother by receiving God as your father. Then since we've all got the same father, naturally, we're brothers. Now, God is the life giver of all men. In that sense, He's the father of all men. In that sense. But in the generic sense, you know, family sense, no. Not till you accept Jesus, you become part of the family. He becomes your older brother. And then we have the same father He has, so naturally, we're the sons of God. Now, the Bible does not teach you are evolving into gods. You are never going to be gods in the sense of being a creating God with a capital G. God made a perfect man named Adam. He was a man, not a God. Gave him a free will and he fell. He sinned. We inherited that nature from Him. God is now gluing us back together, the result of the fall, where the spirit of man died and we're born without a live spirit. The spirit is that part of a man that worships God. You cannot worship God without a live spirit. With your intellect, which is your soul, you can contemplate God. You can think about God. Your soul. Your soul is your intellect, it's your will, it's your emotions, it's your psyche. It's your personality. It's the you that I know. You can contemplate God like you can contemplate your navel with your soul. But you can't worship Him without a live spirit. And so God is transforming us back into the image of God. Now the image of God is Jesus. God took an image. God is a spirit. You can't see Him. He took an image. I can see you. That image is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what the whole Bible teaches. Now, God then looked at that and says, I'll make man in our image. There was two of them at least then, don't you see? Standing there. Of course, the Spirit was there with them. He was now Father. But God has always stayed Spirit. God can't become a man without staying Spirit, or else He's no longer the God He defined Himself as being, omnipresent. See, as a man, Jesus can't be in Jerusalem and Houston at the same time. But as Spirit, He can. Okay? Now, if we speak of Jesus the man, though, listen, now Jesus Christ is 100% man and 100% God at the same time. There is no such thing as a 50% God. That's Greek mythology. So you're either God or you're not God. You understand that? What is a 50% man? Have you ever seen a 50% man? No, that's Greek mythology and Roman mythology, you know, centaurs and things like that, and Pan and Faun, you know, these things. No, that's mythology. You either are a man or you're not, right, girls? I mean, you're either married to a man or you're not. I didn't say whether, you know, he could lift 500 pounds or run a 100-yard dash in 4 seconds or anything like that. You know, those are the lies we tell you guys. But, you know, you're either a man or you aren't. There's no such thing as a 50% man or a 50% God. Jesus was 100% man. He was a genuine man.
Yes.
And at the same time, now you, hey, do you want a mystery? Let's not talk about the stupid mystery of reincarnation and karma and stuff like that. You want a mystery? I know somebody that's 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Now that is pretty good. We are being transformed back into the perfect man.